Welcome to the Irresistible You podcast. This is the place to get a dose of empowerment to create the life you crave and deserve. I'm your host, Amy Beltran, CEO and founder of Irresistible University. Through my podcast and online coaching program, I teach women just like you how to ditch the body image issues, gain confidence, and lose the emotional weight to look and feel irresistible at any size. If you like this podcast, you're going to love my group coaching program. If you would like to learn more about it, including the investment cost, what's included, see client testimonials, and to sign up and enroll, please head over to irresistibleicing.com/course. The link is also in the show notes. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am so excited to be here. For those of you that are my OG listeners, you know that I took a break last week. I had posted that in the free Facebook group and Instagram because it was a holiday and it was spring break and your girl just needed a break. And I have started this episode like 4 or 5 times now, and I keep finding myself blabbering on so much that I'm getting irritated with it, and I keep restarting and re-recording, and here we are. So I find that I tend to do that when I have a lot of personal things that I want to talk about, and I'm just kind of trying to pull my thoughts together, because I was going to say, like, okay, on this episode, I'm really going to keep it real and raw, but I kind of do that on every episode. However, I want to share with you kind of some things that I'm going through on a personal level and how I'm processing through it, because I think that, you know, sometimes when you see me or you listen to the podcast, some of you may think, oh, there's like this pinnacle moment in your Irresistible You journey or your emotional weight journey where you reach this point of never falling backwards, or you reach this point where, you know, you never get caught up in your own shit again and you never fall back into those old habits. And that's just not true. The difference is that you become so much more self-aware when you're doing certain behaviors or when you're thinking certain things or when you're feeling certain things, that because you gain that self-awareness, you can kind of redirect yourself where you need to go much faster and quicker than when you're completely zombie walking around and just totally zoned out about what's going on and being in denial about what's going on. So I want to just share that with you, because I think that's really valuable for you to hear from me, someone that, you know, teaches other women how to do this, how I process through things. And it's so funny because sometimes I think like, oh, I shouldn't share that. Or they're going to think I'm like some kind of fraud because, you know, I'm over here struggling with shit too. And it's like, yeah, I'm not a fraud. I'm a human being. And I think that, you know, even people that I listen to or people that I look up to or people that I follow, you know, when they share things like that, I find there's a lot of value in it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm not the only one. So I want to just share some things with you, and we're going to dive all into that. But just a little bit about last week. It was really good, you guys, because, and I promise you, there's a connection between what I'm talking about. And I'm going to just tell you, this episode is probably going to be really long. It's probably going to be really chatty. I know some of you like that. Some of you may not like that, but just if you want to rock with me, you rock with me, okay? So last week, Catalina went to Unicorn Dance Camp, which it was just the cutest little thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was the first time since the pandemic that she has done any type of school activity, anything. And it's actually the first time in her life that she has done something like that where she's dropped off for 3 hours at a time. Because she has not started school, she's not in preschool, she's never been to daycare, and it was a big deal for all of us, right? It was kind of like a test of like, okay, how is this school thing going to go, and are we ready to let her go? Because regardless, guys, she's starting pre-K in the fall, right? But there's also this thing of like, are we ready to let her go because of everything that's going on with the pandemic and all the things? And it was just a lot. So her experience was so good. She Loved it. Like when we asked her if she missed us and she said no, I was so excited because I want her to not have that separation anxiety, and she didn't. And you know, she was supposed to start school last year, around March. And we all know what happened in March, and that was a no. And then I was pregnant from February until almost November. And then with a newborn, it was just like, we're going to hold her back for right now because that's just the right thing to do for our family. And as the time has gone on, now that Javi, oh my gosh, you guys, hold your breath. He's almost 6 months old. Cannot even wrap my head around that. And, you know, our family, we did have COVID back in Christmas time. So that gave us a little bit of immunity as well. My husband has been vaccinated. I am getting vaccinated. You know, things are looking better, at least where we are for now. Who knows, that could change. But and so I'm saying all this because since this whole thing started, I've been hyper vigilant about all of it because I was pregnant. And that was, even if I wasn't pregnant, I still would have been the same way, but I think I was a little bit extra just because of it. And I just kind of have reached this point a few weeks ago where it's just time to do a risk assessment. And what I mean by that is, I'm gonna lose my shit. I'm gonna actually lose my shit because we are going on over a year now of no break, no white space, no time for me. And it's time for my kid to go to school. It's time for her to have that structure and routine. And it's time for us to have that too. Because I reached this point the other week where I can't continue at this pace for much longer, or I'm gonna break. And let me just explain what I mean by that to all of you guys, because this is, trust me, this is all leading into what we're talking about today, because this is the buildup. So the buildup is that I have worked from home for over 10 years now. Okay. I love it. I would never change it. It is my jam. I work for myself. Okay. And I also am a mom. I'm a mom of a 4-year-old, I'm a mom of a 6-month-old, and I'm a mom of an 11-year-old Chihuahua who thinks he is like a puppy and he's crazy. So my bucket is very full. And the schedule that my husband has, while it's great for me to be able to work from home half the day, there is no time for us. There is no time for me. There is no white space built into my schedule. And this has been going on for us for a while. This is not really a pandemic thing, you guys. And I know for a lot of you, this is new for you, but I've been working at this pace for quite a while. And it's to the point where it's like something just has to give because it's literally wake up. Work, 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 right up until the minute where I know Frank has to get ready. And then he goes and gets ready for work. I take over with the kids and I have them from 1 o'clock until he gets home around 11:30 at night. And it's non-stop. And I love my children. I love this life that I've created. I love the flexibility that we do have, but that also doesn't mean that it's still not exhausting, right? There's no time, there's no space, there's no, let me just think to myself for a minute. And then every night, you know, so what I'm finding is that I'm falling back into that cycle. And I know I was like this in the beginning with Kat when she was born because I was a new mom. So it was all very different. And I was working full time and I had my side business. And, you know, there's always something, right? No matter what we're doing, let's just understand it's never going to be perfect. There's always something. And what I've been finding, it's like I get these kids to sleep because I do bath, bed, dinner, all of that's here alone by myself. And between the pandemic, between this schedule and the absolute like isolation that's been going on with all of it, I'm exhausted. And it's not even physical. I'm so emotionally and spiritually and mentally exhausted from all of it. And I think we've been going at this pace for over a year now, and we've been going at it for so long that it's almost like you just forget that this isn't normal. So my work schedule, my balance in terms of that stuff has always been the way it's been. But the isolation, the not having any outlets, not having a social life, not having mom friends, not having friends, period, to hang out with, has just been exhausting. And I feel spent. And there's no relief. There's no, I sneak little things here and there, go get my nails done, or, but there's really no, there's no relief. And there's no, and like I was talking to my therapist about all this too. And it's like, what's going to give for you? And I'm like, there is nothing to give up right now. I literally cannot take anything off my plate. I just can't. The only thing at this point that's going to maybe help with the situation a little bit is we have to get Kat into school sooner than later. We just have to, because it's just so good for all of us. And it's the point now where it's like the risk assessment of what's worse, right? Yes, we still have COVID. Yes, this is still going on, but you have to look at some of the statistics and some of the facts. And it's like our family already had COVID also. And just the, I don't want to even get into all of that, but it's like to the point where is it worth falling apart and snapping, or what are we going to do here? And I think a lot of us are in the same boat where it's like mental health and anxiety and depression are at an all-time high, and we have to start making some decisions about what it is we have to do. So, going at this pace and at this schedule with the isolation, without the interactions, without having like help, outside of basically my husband and I, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And I kind of just hit the wall with it a few weeks ago where I'm like, something's going to have to give here. We've got to figure this out. Something's going to have to give because I can't continue at this pace because this is not healthy and I'm not showing up in my life. I'm not showing up in other areas the way I want to. So, where this is all tying together with the topic today is that I find that I'm just at this place where after I get the kids to bed, my body and my mind are so flippin' tired and spent and worn out that I'm just wanting relief. I just want relief in the sense of like, I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want anyone to ask me questions. I don't want to turn on anything related to work. I don't want to do anything but just be here, zoned out. And that ends up turning into overeating. That ends up turning into binging. And I have shared with you guys so many times that when your only outlet is TV and your only outlet is eating, that is not good because that is not a hobby. And all the things that I know to be true, all the things I know I'm supposed to be doing, all the things that are part of my framework and the things that I know I need to be a mentally, emotionally healthy person, I'm not doing them the way I should. And I'm owning that and I'm being accountable to it because I need some changes to happen and they really have to start happening today. So that zoning out, that zombie eating, that zombie walking, that's kind of where I've been finding myself. So let me just back up a second. So in March, and I know I told you I'm kind of going to be all over the place, so just hang with me, okay? In March, I decided I need to challenge myself to move more. And so, for those of you that are following me on social media, you know about this. And I did my 6K a day in March because I just needed something. I needed to get something out there to where I had a goal, I had something to hold myself accountable. And I'm proud to say that I did it. I knocked it out of the park. I finished March. I did not miss one single day. And I accomplished it, and there were even days that I well exceeded that goal. And then March came and went, and it was kind of like the relief of like, oh, this is over. Okay, I can like take my foot off the gas for a minute. Except I really can't afford to take my foot off the gas when it comes to walking and moving my body if I want to get this weight off and if I want to feel better mentally. I can't afford to do that. And it's like my all or nothing bullshit kicked in and it was just like, well, that's over. So now I can just kind of chill out for a little bit. And then I noticed, you know, it's like the cycle slowly creeps its way back in. And let me tell you what I'm talking about here. So the topic about today is ignorance is not bliss when it comes to your weight loss. And so a lot of times, let me just kind of describe the cycle that happens for a lot of people. You know, you're doing good, you're doing good, you're tracking, you're planning meals, you're getting in your exercise, you're getting in your steps, you're just doing all the things that you need to do for your weight loss journey. And then something happens, or you just take your foot off the gas, kind of like something I'm describing, and you just slowly start to backtrack. Like, well, that's okay. I don't have to track that. Well, that's okay. It doesn't really count. I'll start back tomorrow and I'll do a little bit better. Or you stop weighing in. So now you don't even know your progress. You don't even know where you're at. And I feel like the longer you're away from the scale, the worse that becomes. So that's kind of something that happened to me, and it was not intentional at all. While I was doing my 6K a day, I was feeling really good. I was feeling so much better because I was doing what I said I would do, number one, and I was giving my body a way to release all of this anxiety, all of this stress, all of this emotional stuff that comes along with going at this pace that I've been talking about, of just going from work to mom, and having no time in between for me and Frank together as a couple. Just having a place to release that in the exercise. Because I was telling you guys, like, this weird thing always happens to me when I go hard on my exercising and I start running or I start walking or dancing or whatever, I just start crying. And it's like this emotional release of energy. It's not even a sadness. It's an emotional release of energy. And so it was giving me an outlet to do that. It was giving me something else to look forward to instead of sitting on the couch after the kids go to sleep. And I shared this in my stories on Instagram. It was like, you know, even the nights where I'm exhausted, I just want to lay here in bed. Or I go and get on the treadmill and I've got the monitor there on my phone, and 5 minutes into my walk, Javi is crying upstairs and I have to stop and then go back again. I was pushing through all of that bullshit. And I was feeling good. I actually started feeling like, oh my gosh, like my pants are actually feeling a little bit looser. I felt, you know, when you start taking better care of yourself and you're walking and you're eating clean and all that kind of stuff, you actually start feeling like your body is deflating. I started feeling like that, like you're putting a pin in it. Just the air's coming out. And even the scale, when I was doing my weigh-ins, the scale had started going down. And I was like, yes, like this is working, not even just for the weight loss, but like for my mental health. Because I think that's even more important than the physical health sometimes. And then my scale, this is where I say things were not intentional and how it slowly creeps back, okay? My scale battery was dead, so it kept saying low every time I would get on the scale. I'm like, oh, shit. So I went and ordered the battery during grocery pickup. They didn't have it, so the battery never came in one of my pickups. I was like, okay, cool, I'll go pick it up later. Well, that never happened because, you know, two kids, busy, excuses. It is what it is. Just didn't happen. So then my next order, I swear to you this happened. I ordered it for my next grocery delivery. They said they had it, and then it was nowhere in the bag. And I actually had to get a refund because it was not in any of the grocery bags. And it was one of those things where it's like every time I would go to the store, I just forgot. So obviously I wasn't making it a priority, and I own that 100%. But then what happened, it's like, that was like mid-March when that was going on. So it's been over a month now since I got on the scale. It's actually been about a month today. So as the weeks went on, that's like 1 week, 2 weeks. It's like, well, okay. Kind of taking my foot off the gas with my eating. Even though I was doing my walking and my steps, I noticed that I was starting to take my foot off the gas with planning my meals and sticking to my points and sticking to my meals. Okay. And I know why, because I've psychoanalyzed myself, and I know why I was doing some of it, because there's some things that I had to process through, and they were very heavy and very hard. And, you know, I do go to therapy as well, guys. I am a therapy advocate all day, every day. I think everybody needs to do it. I think we can't be in our own head. We can't dump all of our shit on our partners and our friends. We need therapy. And the last couple sessions, a couple of sessions I had in March, it was like, and if you go to therapy, you identify with this. I would get off the call because they're all on the computer now. And I was just exhausted. And I mean, just like where you can barely open your eyes because it's just so heavy to process through some of those things. And I remember one session, I still had work to do. And you know, I only have a certain amount of time before my work day is over because of, you know, what I just shared. And I was like, I just got to go walk around the store because I'm done. I'm spent. And I would just, and there was like a sadness too of some of the things that I'm processing. But anyway, I'm not going to share the details because that's my story. And that's my personal thing to keep close to me. And it was just heavy and it's hard. And I know that's kind of where things started to unravel. So it's the slow burn. It's the slow unraveling. Well, I don't have a battery for the scale and I don't know how much I weigh. I don't know what's going on. And then I stop tracking food and then I stop planning meals. Next thing I know, you know, because of the exhaustion, because of the type of schedule that I'm constantly running on, if I don't plan ahead of time and order the groceries and plan out what we're going to eat, well, there's a lot of DoorDash going on and there's a lot of drive-through going on. And next thing you know, it's like you're full-blown zombie eating and zombie walking, meaning you're not paying attention and you're going back to all these old habits because you just want relief. And I know, and that's what I say here. It's like, you may still go backwards and have the same behaviors, but your self-awareness becomes so much bigger when you learn how to do this type of work that we teach here. So, you know, as I looked at myself and kind of coaching myself and looking at what is going on here, what is really going on? Because I started noticing, especially the last couple weeks, like, every night I would go to bed, I felt like shit from what I was eating. And just having the guilt and the shame cycle, feeling awful, not liking what I was eating, feeling not good in my skin because I can actually feel the weight coming back. So it's like, and because I could feel that, I have like, there's so much for me to unpack here and dump out because, and I know I'm going to be all over the place. I'm trying really hard to make it concise and consistent and like the way I'm sharing this so that it makes sense. Going to bed feeling like shit, I can start to feel the weight, like, it's like, you know how when you're like, what I shared just now, it feels like the air is coming out when you're actually eating well and you could feel the weight coming down. When you feel the weight coming back on, it's the opposite. You feel like something is like stuck on you. It's like it's stuck on your, it's like your arms and your, like everything just feels stuck to you. I don't know. It's like this very weird thing. You probably know what I'm talking about though. So I kind of started feeling like that. And then I just, last week is when I kind of hit, I hit a tipping point. And out of nowhere, it seemed. And it wasn't out of nowhere because this has been a slow burn for a couple weeks. Out of nowhere last week, I was angry. And I mean, like, just angry. Like, scrolling on social media or looking at certain things and just wanting to punch people in their face. Like, just feeling angry or seeing someone complaining about their freaking stomach when they don't even have a stomach. And I'm like, if you would see this gut that's hanging off of me from this pregnancy, please get out of here with your bullshit. I'm just feeling so fucking angry. And I mean, like, burning rage, anger, the fact that I have to even worry about this shit. The fact that I can't let a couple of weeks go by of zombie walking, of zombie eating without the weight coming back on. The fact that I have to constantly worry and think and track and plan and count and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. I don't want to think about food. I don't want to plan food. I don't want to have to live like this. And the fact that I was just feeling so frustrated that when I'm planning my meals and then I'm still fucking hungry all the time. Or that when I pull up to the drive-thru because we're busy and I don't want the grilled chicken. You know, there's times where I do want it, but over the last couple weeks, I don't want the grilled nuggets. I don't want the boring ass grilled sandwich. I don't want some of those things. And it's just like, I let all of those emotions and those food cravings and that food addiction really kind of take over my bigger dreams, my bigger vision, what I really need and want for myself so that I can feel better. Because I don't feel good with this extra weight. I don't feel good with it. I don't like it and I don't feel good with it. So it was just this anger and rage about why me, you know, and I was having my pity party of like, why me? I've been doing this since I was in fucking elementary school. You know, always having like, and even getting, you know, even when I get to my goal weight, this isn't going to go away. When I get to my goal weight, I don't get to take my foot off the gas and say, well, fuck that, I'm done. I don't get to take my foot off the gas at goal weight and say like, well, I can just go back to eating the fried shit. It doesn't work that way. And it was just making me so angry that I've had to do this my entire life. And that I will have to do this for the rest of my life. And does it get easier? Yes. And I felt like I was in such a good place before I even conceived Javi last year, where I really had everything under control. But, you know, like I tell you, there's always going to be other things that happen or experiences or trauma or just things in life that mix things up to where you're like, okay, I got to refocus again. I got to really get my emotions in check. And if you don't know how to get your emotions in check, how can you self-assess and self-coach yourself to get back where you need to be? And so I have to celebrate that a little bit because I know Amy from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, wouldn't even have the self-awareness to understand what's going on. So I would just continue to live in denial. I would continue to be zoned out. I would continue to act like nothing is wrong and not tap into any of this hard stuff that is really the meat of what you have to do. It's not about the meal plan. It's not about the exercise plan. It's about how are you managing your emotions? Because when you overeat, when you binge, when you emotionally eat, you're not doing that because you don't know what to eat. Because let me tell you right now, every single one of y'all listening to this, girl, you could teach a class. You could teach the class on what to eat, how to lose weight, how to move your body. That's not the problem. And that's not the problem for me either. The problem is you got to get your emotions in check. The problem is you got to gain some self-awareness to recognize when you're going down that dark hole so that you can get yourself out of that hole and be able to see what got you there in the first place. So you got to be able to do that work. You really do. And doing that work, when I say doing that work, this emotional weight stuff, that's the hard part. Because nobody wants to admit their life sucks right now. Nobody wants to admit that they're not happy. Nobody wants to admit that they've got work to do. Nobody wants to admit that, you know, they're not taking accountability. Nobody wants to admit these things. So I sat there and I'm like, all right, girl, have your pity party. Last week, have your pity party. Do you have this pity party? But then you're going to get your shit together. And any of you that are in my coaching program, you know I teach you that. It's like, have your pity party, but believe me, there better be a start time and an end time to that pity party. Because otherwise, it's not a party. Okay, parties have a start and an end time. So it was like, just feeling rebellious, like, I'm not tracking this shit. I'm not planning this shit. I don't want to go out for a walk. I don't want to go do this. I don't want to go do that. And it's like, well, who are you really hurting? It's like, ooh, who are you really like? You're really hurting who? Yourself. And is that really worth it? Of course not. But in the moment, it's just like the rebellion of like, I'm fucking sick of this shit. I'm sick of the cycle. I'm sick of, but then you're also, it's like, sick of doing the work that I need to do to get the weight off. But then I'm actually more sick of the way I feel as a result. So it's, as you know, it's like this vicious cycle, and it does not change unless you make the decision, enough is enough. Enough is enough, and I got to throw a wrench in this cycle, and I have to break it. Because otherwise, it will go on and on and on and on. And this is why when you're zombie walking and you're not self-aware, this is why, you guys, you wake up in a new season, summertime, for example, and you're like, oh my God, my shorts don't fit. How the fuck did this happen again? You know, or all of a sudden you go to put the jeans on when it gets cold again, and you're like, oh my God, they don't go over my knees. And you act like you can't believe this happened because you just couldn't understand how this could happen. And it's because you're zoned out. It's because you're zombie walking. It's because you're zombie eating and you're not tuned in. And one of the things that I have, and I thought I had accepted this, but I guess I kind of hit, you know, you guys, this is a journey, right? And sometimes on those journeys, you know, them potholes that about take you out your seat. And if you live in Virginia, you know what I'm talking about. Like those potholes where like, you're like, whoa, what just happened? Sometimes we hit potholes where we thought we knew where we were going. And it's like, this shit just threw me for a loop. And that's okay. And that's okay too, because we're not going to do this perfectly. We're not going to, our life isn't going to be the way it is now, a year from now, 5 years from now. There's always going to be something stirring up in the water. Okay. And, you know, I had to, one of the things I have to accept is that weight loss will never come easy to me. Meaning, when I say not come easy to me, what I mean by that is I can never just do what I like. I can never just throw everything out the window like it doesn't exist. I can't afford to do that. And I think sometimes I feel angry about that, to where it's like, why can't I just be like other people? Why can't I just be like other people who are skinny even, and they eat whatever the hell they want and they never gain a pound? Where if I start eating whatever I want, the weight comes back on quickly. And that makes me angry. And it's just made me angry, like just like in my anger over the last week or two of like, this time around, postpartum has been the hardest. Like, I have never been someone who can lose weight easily. That is not my story. That is not me, honey. But after Kat, it did come off consistently. Even when I wasn't fully putting, I was like half-assing the work, okay? And this time around, half-assing the work, it's almost like the weight is, I'm like gaining the weight. And it's just not coming off. So I feel like, I don't want to do this. And then it's like the wah. Like, I don't want to have to think about this. I don't want to have to do this shit anymore. I don't want to do it. It's frustrating. And this is the stuff like, I'm like, oh, should I share this with them? Because it's like, I'm here to motivate and inspire you guys. But this is part of my story. This is part of my journey, and this just is where I am right now. And sometimes I have to take a step back and be like, girl, what would I tell someone else? Because it's like, you just had a baby 5 months ago. And I think that's part of the problem society-wise, and just these expectations that we're supposed to just bounce back. Like, you go through 9 months of everything it takes to grow a baby, all the changes that happen to you, and then you have the baby, so your life is not the same. You're trying to get through life with a newborn, And in my situation, in a pandemic with no support, no socialization, how is that supposed to look? And just recognizing, like, that's freaking hard. It's hard. And then I think we're also conditioned to be like, well, what are you complaining about? You're so blessed. You wanted these kids. Like, these kids were so wanted. They were so planned. So what are you complaining about when there's people that can't have kids? And then you start comparing your sadness and your frustration with someone else. It's still yours to have to complain about. It's still yours to feel like shit about. And I think we have to stop that comparison thing of like, well, I shouldn't feel this way, because that's the additional suffering that we load on top, where it's like, you're already stressed out. You're already at your limit. You're already at capacity. You're already just spent. So then to compare that you shouldn't feel this way is just going to add unnecessary guilt and shame to the situation. You have to feel how you feel and stop comparing yourself to other people. And you have to also give yourself some grace, especially like for me in my particular instance. It's like, girl, you just had a baby. Like, and not only that, after you had that baby, you went through hell. You could have died. And that is not an exaggeration. And I shared that in a past episode, my postpartum story. And it's like, give yourself some grace. And the fact that your life has changed, when you go from one to two, it's a lot. It's a lot just to start with one. But then from one to two, in a pandemic, with no school, with no daycare, with no assistance, with no, there's no nanny here, there's no assistant, there's none of that shit going on. What do you think is going to happen? And then you're also doing it at a time where you're not meeting up with friends, you're not going out for girls' nights. Yesterday I saw one of my friends that used to live here, and we used to walk together all the time. And like, I was like, you are the first friend that I have met up with, and I don't even know how long. I have not hung out with friends. We don't have our monthly meetups that we were hosting, these networking groups that I was hosting. So when there's no, think about this. There is no relief. When we overeat, it is because we are trying to fill something up. And when your cup is actually like cracking, that like that cup don't even have tea or coffee in it. It's actually got a crack in it. And you can't even put nothing in it. That's where we're at right now. When you're at that place, it's like the only relief is in the food. And then the thing that's giving you the relief is also the thing that's making you feel like shit. So it just creates this this nasty cycle, and it just goes on and on and on until you decide, I've got to get some things together here. And I know I did an episode where we talk about it's going to feel like shit for a while as you're pulling yourself through this, as you're trudging through this and you're going through the mud. It's gonna feel like shit for a while, because even when you're putting in the work, you're picking the grill nuggets, you're doing the hard emotional work, you're putting in your steps when you don't want to go walking, when you're doing all of that and you're not seeing the results, of course you want to quit. Of course you want to throw in the towel. And as I was sitting there, like, okay, Amy, what's really going on here? Why do we keep overeating? Why are we eating all the chocolate? Why are we doing all the things? It's like, because there's no relief anywhere else. And like I told you, I'm getting real personal with you guys, but I think it's helpful for you. I hope so. The way I have been feeling lately is that my time is not my time, that my life is not my life, meaning someone always needs me. There's always something that has to get done. There's always a million questions. And my time when I'm working is still not my time, because I'm having to do things for other people, and I have projects and I have clients and I have contracts and I have things that I'm doing And that my only alone time lately is when I'm sitting here in my office working. That is not alone time. I'm sitting in here alone, but this is not alone time. This is not recharging my battery. This is not working in my office is not self-care. Okay. And it's just been going like that and going like that and going like that, you know, and even after the kids go to sleep, my husband is not here to hang out with. He's at work. And by the time he gets home from work, I need to go to bed. And just as soon as we go to bed, wah, Javi's awake. And that's the other thing is he's been going through some kind of bullshit sleep regression for a while now. And that's the whole thing. I know I'm like skipping all around, but it's like every day I tell myself, okay, tomorrow we're going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We just have to, because if you want more time to yourself, that's the only place it's going to come from right now is getting up early. But when you are being woken up every hour, every 2 hours, when the alarm goes off at six, sometimes I just got back to sleep and I don't want to get up. And you guys, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. It's just all of it has compounded on into like this big ball, right? It's like there's so many things happening and coming. And then I feel horrible for saying any of this because my life is actually pretty good. My life is really good. You know, I'm doing what I always dreamed about doing with my business. I work for myself. I have so much flexibility in my schedule in terms of working for myself and then being able to go. I don't ask permission to take my kid to the doctor. And that is something I promised myself years ago, is that I will never have to ask someone permission to take my kid to the doctor or take the afternoon off because my kid just needs me. That I get to take my kids to the aquarium in the middle of the day. And I don't ever, 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 ever take that for granted, that I am so blessed for what I have created. And that I am so blessed to have these children. And Chewy, who's still here with us and is like my little best friend that's always there. Like, my life is good. And I don't want anyone to think that because of the way I'm talking about things, that I don't also have things really good. And we've worked really hard for what we have. And that, you know, my husband and I are such a good team, and but we're both feeling the same way. Him and I were talking the other day where we're just, like, we miss each other. See each other every day. But we miss us, you know, we just miss us, because I love my husband, but you know what? I also really like him. And I don't think a lot of people can say that about their spouse. I like him. I like being with him. I like hanging out with him. And this is just a season that we're in right now when you have littles and it's like you're working and you have little kids and it's just really hard, you know, and I think just we haven't even gone on a, like, out just the two of us since New Year's Eve 2019, so that's a year and a half, that's a lot, and we've never gone this long without having a date night or just us. It's a lot, and so I feel like I'm just dumping on you guys, and I apologize, and I don't mean to do this, but I just... This is real life. This is real life, and this is what it looks like, and this is what it's like to make sense out of your bullshit, to make sense out of your behavior with weight and food. Because it's not about the food. It's not about the actual food. It's about what is going on in your life that you're using food as a relief. Because that's what it's been for me. It's like, oh, this is the one thing I can look forward to today, is like, ooh, yeah, when the kids are asleep, I'm going to order something on DoorDash and have it delivered. Or, you know, we order dinner as a family, like the kids and I, and then it's like, when they go to sleep, I'm going to eat that cheesecake that I ordered that I hid from my daughter. You know, just, it's like you just, or I'm out and about taking them somewhere and I just got to hit the drive-thru. And they're like restrained in the car seat. They can't move. And Hobby's asleep. She has her headphones on and Mama is just going to eat something that tastes really good and get that relief, that release. And that's the stuff I want you guys to start recognizing, and recognizing it before so much time goes on. Is that why are you using food in the first place? What are you trying to relieve? What are you trying to release by overeating? Because it's like, yeah, the food tastes good, but that's not why you're doing it. That's not why. And so that was what it was for me. It's like, you know, there's just no time in the day for Amy. There's nothing in my schedule right now, which I love taking my kids to the zoo. I love taking them places. Like, I was telling someone this the other day. I don't know if I shared this here or not, but like the way that I like to mother is I like to do things. I like to create experiences with my kids. I do not show up as the version of the mom I want to be when I have to be stuck at home all the time. I just can't do that. So I love doing things with them. And last week with Kat in camp, it was like the first time in a while that I started feeling normal again. I started feeling like, okay, this is what life is supposed to look like. Like, this is what we've been missing for so long. Like, I would drop her off and I would work because it wasn't worth me to go back home, like from where she was doing the dance. So I would turn my hotspot on. I had my laptop and I just worked in the car. And it was like just having I don't know. It was just starting to feel like, okay, we can get some of this structure back in our life. And this would be really nice to have. And I didn't tell you guys. So I think part of when all this was going on, this is obviously a factor as well. My truck was getting worked on. So the mechanic had my car for 3 weeks. For 3 effing weeks. The first week I had a rental because we thought it was going to be done by the end of the week. So I just rented a car. And week 2 and week 3, I did not have a rental car because I'm like, we cannot afford to pay for a rental for 3 weeks. And that meant I was actually stuck here. And that I already know was a trigger for me. I cannot be home 24/7. I just can't do it. And that was part of the problem too. I think that's what kind of triggered a lot of this as well. So we were actually going for a lot of walks at that time because it's like, let's just go. And we were going for extra long walks, which was really helping me get my steps in. And that was the other thing too. It's like walking has always been, not always, because I never knew this early on, but over the last 10 years or so, walking is like my happy place. I love to go for walks. I love to be in nature. I love to go explore. I love to go do things. Like, being out in nature is how I feed my soul. And even as of lately, my walks aren't even my own. Meaning, I got to push the stroller. Then I've got Chewy who wants to pee. Like, every 2 feet that we're walking, he wants to pee on everything. And then I've got Kat who wants to walk or ride her bike. And so I'm like hyper vigilant about her on the sidewalks and like looking for cars. And I'm like that mom who's always thinking of like the worst case scenarios. It's ridiculous. So even my walks lately just haven't felt relaxing because they're not about me. It's about making sure everybody's okay. And just a lot, guys. It's a lot. So just all of these things compounding just got me to the place where that slow burn happened, where ignorance is not bliss when it's with weight loss. Like, not knowing how many points you're eating, not, because when you're just zombie eating and you're not paying attention, you don't even know how much you're throwing down. And then you're like, well, gee, I wonder why I feel awful, because you're eating so much and you're not paying attention. And not getting on the scale is also a factor, because it's like, you know, I am not one of those people who's like scale-free living. I tried that at one point and I gained weight because of the same thing that I'm talking about. Like, if I don't know where I'm at, then it just, I just don't believe in scale free. If that's your thing, cool. For me, it doesn't work. It's just not a thing for me. Intuitive eating is also not a thing for me. I can't do that because intuitively I just want to eat, you know, cheesecake and birthday cake and chocolate eggs. So intuitive eating, maybe down the road one day it might work for me. I am an all or nothing person. I need structure. I need accountability. And so that just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't. But yeah, so let's just talk about some things, because I know I hope I've even made sense, because I'm just like sharing so much stuff and like dumping out, and I hope it's not annoying and this episode is going to be super, super long. But I always like to turn around everything I share into a lesson or into action and things that you can take away and do and learn and apply to your life. So let's kind of dig into that a little bit. So when you are in that slow burn, ignorance is bliss, I don't even know what I weigh anymore, I don't know the last time I tracked my food, I know I'm gaining weight, and I feel like shit, I can't break out of this cycle, all I do is put on Netflix and order food when the kids go to sleep, and, you know, just, you know what I'm talking about. When you are finding yourself in that cycle, the zombie cycle, really, the zombie walking, the zombie eating, when you are finding yourself in that place where you're tired, you're exhausted. And when I say tired, guys, I don't just mean physically. I mean emotionally, mentally, like you're just exhausted because you're not giving back to yourself. You're putting yourself, you're not even putting yourself on the list at all. In that place, and I think so many of you are there, given the year that we've had, I think a lot of you are there. And I know from conversations that so many people are there and that they've gained the weight because they were just, you're just coping the best way you know how, right? And so when you know better, you do better. And let's just talk about some of the things that I know that work for me, that I do, and that you can apply to your life as well. So when you're in this cycle, when you're in this place, number one thing you got to do to snap yourself out of this, even before I go into this, there's a part of you that has to want to do this. Last week, I did not want to do this. I knew I needed to do this, but I didn't want to do this. And there's a big difference. And the whole time all this has been going on for the past 2 or 3 weeks, I knew I needed to do it. I knew I shouldn't be eating certain things. I knew I should be doing this or should be, like I was shooting all over myself. But that doesn't make you do it. Okay. There's something in you that has to want this. And like I said, I had my pity party. I derailed for a couple weeks. And it's not the end of the world. So understand that just because it's been a few weeks does not mean you have like trashed everything you've ever done. I want you to think about every time you go backwards, every time you have one of these situations, I want you to think about the fact that this is an opportunity for me to do better. And that's how I look at it. It's like, okay, I am 39 years old. I should know all of this by now. I teach people how to do this. I know better and I should be doing better. And instead of beating yourself up and having all that guilt and shame and doing the inner fat bitch dance, it's like, how about instead if we just say, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to learn. This is an opportunity for me to learn how to do it better next time. This is an opportunity for me to recognize the triggers and the symptoms before 6 months go by again. And wow, I did this in 2 weeks. I realized this. Like, let's change the story there. Okay. It doesn't change the circumstance. The circumstances never change, but the way we think about it, the way we talk about it, that you get to own, that you get to be in control of. Okay. So that's first and foremost. It's like, this is an opportunity for me to like be accountable and think about how to do this differently next time. Okay. So number one, you have to face the music. You have to face the music. You have to get yourself off the denial train. Denial is only going to keep you zombie eating. It's going to keep you zombie walking and zoned out of your life. So face the music. To me, what that means, it means get on the scale. I don't give a shit what you think about it. Get on the scale. Get on the scale so you can see, okay, here I am. And you know what's funny too? Sometimes we build it up in our head like, oh my God, I've gained like 20 pounds in 2 weeks, which I don't think anybody's gaining 20 pounds in 2 weeks. And sometimes you get on the scale and it's the same. But something in your brain made you think that you have really put it on this time. Or maybe you get on the scale and it's like 2 pounds. Okay? Maybe it's five. It's okay. Whatever it is, it's okay. All right? Because here's the thing. We avoid the scale because we don't want to know what it says. Because if we know what it says, then the reality slaps us in the face about what we've been doing. But if you don't get on the scale, it's like you don't break the cycle. You just keep doing what you're doing because you don't know. And it's like, well, again, ignorance is not bliss in this situation. So over the weekend, because here's, so I didn't even finish telling you about my scale, you guys, because I've been so all over the place. So I finally got my battery, okay? I was so excited. I got my battery, got my screwdriver. I was like upstairs trying to unscrew the thing. Let me tell you this. The screw on the back of the scale was so flat, like it didn't even have the X in there anymore to like unscrew, that it won't come out. And I got the big screwdriver, got the little screwdriver. And then when my husband got home, he saw all of it in the bathroom and he was like, what is going on? So he tried it, and when I tell you he can do anything around the house, like fix anything, build it, like he can do any of that stuff. He was like, yeah, this ain't coming out. So, over the weekend, I was like, it's time to face the music. We can't have this pity party anymore. We're not trying to live like this anymore. You are better than this. You deserve more. Order the damn scale. So I had to order myself a new scale. It comes in tomorrow. Okay. So when that gets here, I will be facing the music and I will be seeing what I weigh. Okay. And when you're, and if you're feeling scared of that, you're like, oh, I don't want to weigh in because I'm going to beat myself up and I'm going to do it. The one of the ways I want you to think about things is every time you get on that scale, it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity for you to hear what's going on, to listen to the inner fat bitch that's going on in your head, and it is an opportunity for you to make a decision about what's your next move. It is an opportunity for you to learn how to stop beating yourself up and how to just see the scale as one, it's one measurement. That's it. It's one measurement. Your clothes are a measurement. How you feel is a measurement. Your measurements are a measurement. Like there's all kinds of ways to gauge your weight loss, plus all the non-scale victories. But I truly believe the scale, at least for me, is an absolute must-have in my journey because it keeps me accountable. And any time that I have tried to not get on the scale-free living or whatever that bullshit is, or I've tried to do measurements only, it doesn't work for me. It just doesn't work. And I could tell, I was like, my jeans are starting to get a little tight. So I know that some of the weight has been gained. I know that. So face the music, get on the scale, because now you get to make a decision about what you're going to do from that point on. Okay? That's number one. Number two is if you're eating out of control and you're emotional eating, you're binge eating, however you want to phrase that, and food is taking over your thoughts. Okay, just let's side note this for a minute. When I say binge eating, what that means for me is anytime I feel out of control about my choices with food. Anytime that I feel like something has taken over, like I've like some zombie has taken over my brain, for me, that's a binge. So for some people, a binge could literally be like eating an entire pizza and then going to the drive-thru once or twice. And trust me, there's been times in my life where my binge eating was like that out of control. And I think now when I have a binge, it's nowhere near what it used to be many years ago. But still, any time that I feel like I'm not in control or I'm making decisions that I really don't want to make, that to me feels like a binge. It does. So anytime you're feeling out of control with food and you're not making good choices, the best thing you can do is to start planning what you're going to eat. Because here's the thing, right? When you have so many decisions to make in your day-to-day life, and you have all of these responsibilities, and you have all these obligations, and you have all these other people that you're responsible for, whether it's your children, whether it's your family, whether it's also your business, your job, your team, whatever that is, you have other things that you are responsible for outside of yourself. Food should not be a decision that you have to make in the moment. Because in the moment, in the heat of the moment, instant gratification, relief, release, and pleasure will always win. What does that mean? What that means is that when you're hangry and you're stressed out and you're pissed off about whatever the hell's going on, the last thing you want to do is have to make a decision about what's for dinner. Ask me what's for dinner when I'm pissed off and you're not going to like my response. Right? It's like, watch out, y'all. So something that successful people do, and I mean, like, if you look at any like really successful CEOs, they do something in life where they don't have to make a lot of decisions about the so-called simple things. About their clothes, about their food, about their morning routines. So what I mean by that is like a lot of really successful CEOs and successful people, they wear the same types of clothes. Like look at Steve Jobs. He wore the same black, he had like, I don't even know how many black shirts. Because you know why? In the morning, not thinking about anything. I'm just picking it out and I'm going. Same with food. And I've realized that is one of the things that has made me really successful in my morning. I have eaten the same breakfast now. You guys, I don't even know how long it's been. It has to be at least 10 years. I've been eating the same breakfast every single morning. And when I mean every morning, I mean every morning. And the thing about it, I think about this. I'm like, how come in the morning for breakfast, there's never an argument with myself about, ooh, I should really order IHOP, or I should really go all in on, you know, whatever. I don't have that in the morning. It's just, let's go. Let's go downstairs. We make our egg beaters with a laughing cow. We get ourselves a whole grain English muffin with some spray butter, okay? And we get our avocado with our pink salt, and we go about our business every single day. Now, maybe on the weekend, we have breakfast as like a family. And other than that, I'm not mixing it up. And one of the things I noticed last week was the desire to want to eat fast food breakfast. And that for me is like, ooh, light bulb goes off. You're trying to binge. You're trying to get in as much as you can on this like binge. So you can just eat all the, it's like, I don't crave that stuff normally. Right? One of the reasons it's like, the decision about what's for breakfast, it's already made. So I don't wake up and go, well, I wonder what I'm going to eat today. Well, this would be really good. Or that would be like the way I'm doing for dinner. Dinner is my downfall. Like fully, full stop. I own that. So plan your food the night before, and you have to stick to that plan. And you plan your food around your life, right? You plan your food around what you're doing that day. So if I know I'm taking the girl to dance first thing in the morning and I don't have time to do breakfast at home, then I need to put something on my plan that is something at the drive-thru, for example, that's going to feel good, that's going to taste good, that's going to be healthy. So that when I get there, I'm not like, so last week, let's confession time. I found myself going to McDonald's for breakfast, was not planned. And I never go to breakfast at McDonald's, ever. Because I tell you guys, I eat the same thing every morning and I make it at home. And I wanted the sausage, egg, biscuit, and I wanted them to add cheese. And in my brain, I'm going, well, that's not enough. I also want a burrito, too. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I ate the hash brown. And even if I do, like, we randomly are on the road or vacation or something, I have, like, breakfast out, I never eat the hash browns. I gave those up years ago. So I was like, you're falling back, girl. You're falling back in your old behaviors. This is not okay. And it happens. But the important part is when you can recognize it and be like, okay, we're changing this. And the way you're going to change it is the stuff I'm telling you right now. This is how you're going to, like, quickly get back into the groove, okay? So please plan your food the night before and be realistic. If you're binging and emotional eating, don't tell yourself tomorrow you're eating broccoli and chicken. Girl, you lie. Don't lie to yourself. Like, seriously, you're not going to eat that. You're not going to eat that. And then if you do eat that, you're going to be pissed off and you're going to be resentful and you're going to want to quit before you start. So please be realistic about what you're actually going to eat, okay? Because again, food should not be a decision that you have to make in the moment. Same thing with dinner. It's like if I just plan, I know that I need to think about dinners and what we're going to have because by the time it's dinner time, I don't want to deal with it. And so what's easier? DoorDash, drive through, go out to eat, right? Because in that moment, the relief that you want will always win. Because it's like you bargain with yourself. Well, it's okay. I'll start over in the morning. It's okay. It's okay. And then that slow burn that we've been talking about starts to unravel where it's like, oh my God, I'm like to the point where now I'm overeating at breakfast. And I never do that. Okay. I never do that. Okay. So number three. Okay. This journey and your weight is not just about food. It's not just about exercise, okay? It is also about your mental and emotional health. And I will argue with anybody all day long that that is the most important piece. And it is the most challenging piece. Because if you can manage your emotions, if you can gain self-awareness, you will break this cycle, okay? So you have to find a way to feed your soul, not just feed your body and nourish your body. You need to feed your soul. And that was something I was not doing over the last couple of weeks. And when I say feed my soul, it's like, you guys, I constantly have I've been doing this for over 12 years now. Like, this is just a thing for me. I always have something in my ear or my eyes about personal development. Whether it's a podcast, whether it's quotes, whether it's books, whether it's audiobooks, whether it's something I'm watching, listening, or looking at, I constantly like flood my brain with personal development stuff. Positivity, personal development, things that, you know, make you think, things that make you I constantly want to better myself. I constantly want to develop myself. And I found myself over the last couple of weeks, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm listening to more true crime. I'm Googling weird ass shit about true crime stories. Like, I got on a kick last week about cruise ship crimes. Like, what is going on? And let me tell you, I love that kind of stuff. I love my true crime. I love, this is so funny. You guys are going to laugh at me. My husband thinks I'm so weird, but he loves me. He loves my weirdness. I love watching urban explorers on YouTube. Like, these people, they go to abandoned buildings, abandoned homes, and they just show you this stuff. And it's so creepy and interesting to me. I cannot explain why. And there's a whole series they do with like dead malls where like a lot of the malls in America that are like, you know, the stores are gone. It's just so interesting to me. And that's a great, like, it's one of those things that I will do when I just need to escape, when I just need to like That's like a form of relief of like, I just got to zone out and watch this. And I would much rather watch a dead mall video than overeat because there's no harm in the dead mall video. It's like, it's just a way to I'm not kidding you guys. When I was in the hospital with preeclampsia and I had to like de-stress, I could not get stressed out by things. I would watch those videos because I think they're so calming. It's so weird. I'm a weirdo and I own my weird, okay? So anyway, I was just finding myself watching more of that crap, watching more documentaries. And I love documentaries, but I wasn't filling any of my time with personal development, with positivity, with growth, with spirituality, with any of those things that I know I need to be listening to at all times. Okay. And so, I'm that type of person. Like when I go on walks, I have something on that I might be listening to. I have stuff on in the car. It's like, I usually, when I'm in a good place, I don't fill my time with TV and garbage. I fill it with these kinds of things because and I love listening to it. And I know I wasn't doing it because to do it means then I would start thinking about what I really need to be doing. And that's part of the reason I like listening to that stuff. It gets me out of my own crap. So anyway, that's number three. Feed your soul with personal development, imagery, books, podcasts, whatever. Because this journey is not just about working out your body, you have to work out your brain. And in order to work out your brain to change the way you have done things for your entire life or for many years, you have to find a way of thinking differently. And this podcast would be put into that category. So, if you want to go back and listen to some other podcasts of mine, some other episodes, that would also be helpful as well. All right. So the number four thing here is that, and this kind of ties into feed your soul because in my coaching program, this is really connected to feed your soul. It's basically the same thing, but I wanted to just call this out. What are you doing to relieve yourself, to release your stress, to relieve your stress other than food? Because sitting around watching Netflix, sitting around watching Hulu, Prime, streaming shows, and eating food is not a hobby. It is not a way to feed your soul all the time. Is it okay every once in a while? Yes. We need our movie nights. We need those days. We all need them, okay? We do. But it's a problem when that's the only thing you're doing to relieve yourself. So, what are some other things that are going to bring you pleasure and joy other than the food? Because if the food, like, think about this. It's like, well, the food is bringing me pleasure and joy, but is it? Maybe in the moment. But if that same in the moment pleasure is also causing you all of this pain, then it's actually not relieving anything. It's instant gratification only. Okay. So, what does that look like for you? So, what that looks like for me is going for walks, being out in nature, like going to the beach or going on nature walks or just like going on Google and finding a new place to explore that we go and do. Meditation, prayer. I have my oracle cards. I got my crystals. I'm all about that life. Okay. So like that kind of stuff, listening to my Zen music in the mornings, having my journaling in the morning, socializing with friends, getting together with people, which for a lot of us, that's been missing for a lot of us. And just what does that look like for you? For me, it's also kayaking, which I have not been able to do in a very long time, and I really miss it. It's being out on the water for me. It's even taking my kids places. Like I said, like when I get to take my kids to the zoo or a nature walk or to the aquarium or like we do fun things together, experiences, that for me is like fills up my cup. It makes me happy. So you have to have things to relieve the stress of your life that do not revolve around food. Okay, so what does that look like for you? We can, sh and if you want to share any of this in the free Facebook group, please do. Just go in there. You can put up a post, and then we'll also have a thread for this episode. Okay. The other thing I want you to do, this is really important, is you have to start journaling because you cannot process the thoughts in your head, in your head. And the way I like, I love me some metaphors, you guys. I like to like have visuals for people. Here's how I like to think about this, okay? Imagine your purse or your diaper bag or your mom bag or your big old bag. We all got them. Imagine your big bag, your purse, okay? And it's a hot mess. You've been going. You've been throwing your mask in there. You've been throwing your debit card in there. You got your keys in there, your sanitizer. Yes, I said sanitizer. Thank you to my daughter for making up that word. It's no longer hand sanitizer. We call it sanitizer. So you're throwing your sanitizer. You're throwing your phone. You're throwing your makeup. You just got all this stuff because you're so busy all the time that you're not stopping to like put things where they belong. And this happens, right? It happened to me the other day. I went to go pay for something. Could not find my debit card. So I'm like holding up the line. I was like that person because I was just throwing it wherever because I was busy. And imagine your purse looking like that. And you're trying to clean it while everything is still in there. If you're trying to clean your purse while everything's in there, it's literally impossible because you don't even know what's in there. You don't even realize the receipts that are in there that you need to hang on to. You don't even realize the coins in there that you need to go put in your kid's piggy bank or inside your wallet because you can't see what's in there because you're trying to do it as your hands are like fumbling around in your purse, okay? So the only way to organize your purse is to literally dump it out on the table. Take everything out, put it on the table, and then say, okay, where does this go? Where does that go? Do I really need to hang on to this? Where does this need to get organized? It's the same thing with your thoughts. If you are trying to process through, think about the cycle in your brain where you're like, I shouldn't be eating this. Oh my God, why am I eating this? I can't believe you're doing this again. I can't believe we're here. You're such a fat bitch. I hate you. You're going to always be like this. Why can't you get your shit together? What's wrong with you? What are you doing this for? I wonder why you're eating all the time. I wonder why you're doing this all the time. What the hell's going on? Stop. Stop. Get out a piece of paper, get out a pen, get out a Google Doc, whatever way you want to do it. It does not matter. How you do it is irrelevant. And please, I know some of you guys, please stop telling yourself after this podcast, you're going to Home Goods to get you a pretty notebook. You don't need a pretty notebook. You can do it literally right now as you're listening to this with a scrap piece of paper. Go get the pretty notebook later. Okay. But what you need to do is you need to start journaling the thoughts that are in your head. And that's how I started my Monday today, is I just said, okay, I need to get all this crap out of my head. If I want to make changes, if I want to stop the cycle, if I want to not have the next couple weeks look like the last couple of weeks, then we have to make a conscious decision every single day to check in with ourselves. Because again, it's not just about the food. The food and the eating and the weight is a symptom. It's a symptom of something bigger, but it's not the problem. The problem is what's going on in your brain. The problem is the thoughts that you have about what's going on in your life. So in order to change the behavior with the food, we have to change our thoughts. We have to know. Don't be afraid of those thoughts, because that's what happens. It's like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to hear that inner fat bitch come up. But you need to hear the inner fat bitch. You need to listen to her. She's trying to tell you something. And you can't change until you know what she's saying. So instead of running away from it, instead of being in denial, it's like, okay, what is it that she's trying to tell me? Let's use this as an opportunity to do something different. Okay. So get out your journal and start writing everything down, because you cannot process what's going on while it's going on inside your head. It doesn't work that way. I've tried it and it doesn't work. It just doesn't. There's no way. And when you get it down on paper, you can make sense out of it, and you can also take some of the power away from it as well. You know what I mean? So that's it, guys. So this was a super long episode. I know. So if you are still listening to this, I love you. You're the best. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening, and thank you for hanging out with me. And I hope that by sharing this, it was helpful in some way. And I hope that it was. So if it was, please head over to iTunes and leave me a rating and review if this podcast is helping you in any way. That is the best way you can help support me and the podcast. And if you are not a member of the free Facebook group, please head over to Facebook, look up Irresistible You Podcast, join the group. The link is also in the show notes. And I haven't decided yet. I think we might go live tomorrow. I'm going to see how tomorrow goes. But we have been going live the day after the podcast drops. And so let me know if that's something you guys would like me to do. We can talk about it on Instagram, and I will put up a story, and we can talk about if that's something you want for tomorrow. So, all right, guys, I hope you have an amazing day. Remember, ignorance is not bliss with weight loss. It's time to face the music. It's time to own up to what's going on. It's time to dig into those emotions. Stop running away from things. Stop being in denial. And we got to cancel the pity party, because you deserve better. You deserve more. You are worth more. And you are worth living a life that you enjoy. You are worth living a life you crave. And I know that it's possible. So thank you guys for listening. I will see you in the next one. Until then, stay irresistible. Bye, guys.